Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I'm your host, Vin. And let's get this NFL draft quarterback analysis show underway. Fun times. Draft is here. It's always fun to, draft season is always a time of hope for your team. Until the draft actually happens, and then hope is dashed. And I'm pretty sure I've said that a bazillion times in the lead-ups to some of these shows. But, it's true every time. So, yeah, fun time. So, this is quarterbacks. As it is, as we're getting to the draft, we'll probably be doing a different position group every week, something like that, or maybe depending on some of these, we might combine a couple positions, a couple sets like that, just to save time and whatnot, because I don't think we have time to completely break down every single class and position. So yeah, this week's quarterbacks should be interesting. Some of my scout people called in who know a whole lot more about everything than I do. So, we're going to put them on and make this show great again. All right. Here is Razor right there.
Hello.
Right there. Hello. And
I'm here to make the show great again.
Great again. All right. And this could be anybody. It could be Cherry. Could be Butter. Could be who knows. Hello, sir. Hello. What's up? All right. There we go.
It's me.
So, quarterbacks. Yes, quarterbacks. So.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great. Absolutely great lead in. Which one of these are the Broncos going to get? We'll lead off with that before we get into analysis because. I mean, the Broncos are going to end up with one of the top three guys, right? Either Lynch, Goff, or who am I forgetting?
If we trade up into the top 10, maybe.
Yeah. What's going to happen? Because I refuse to believe that you guys are rolling into the season with Mark Sanchez as the starter. I refuse to believe it.
No, we're going to be rolling into the season with Super Bowl winning quarterback Trevor Siemian as our starter.
Yes.
But seriously, if we do get a guy, it's probably going to end up being something like Hackenberg or Cardale Jones. It's not going to be good. Maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe John Elway will go, oh, this guy played for Stanford. Let's go get Kevin Hogan, and we'll see how that goes.
Hometown guy?
I think that's like the best case scenario.
It's funny because I'm not entirely certain. I mean, obviously, if you guys win the Super Bowl, you're picking way on down the list there, right? I can't help but feel that you guys are going to do something and end up trading up. I got a feeling. And as we all know, my feelings are 100% accurate.
No.
100% of the time, every time.
Every time.
Every time.
That's why the Broncos won the Super Bowl, because you believed in Peyton Manning when no one else did.
Yep. combination of your hate and my love. The yin and the yang willed in the victory.
The left and the further left.
Yes. All right, so top three guys, Wentz, Goff, Lynch. Who is, in y'all's opinion, who is the best at it? Is it Beware's boy, Carson Wentz, or is it like Jared Goff?
I'll let the actual expert start us off. I have not paid any attention.
It depends on who, like, what you're wanting in your system. I mean, if you want a guy who can come in and be a pro-ready quarterback from day one and be efficient from day one, Jared Goff's part of your guy. He has the best pocket presence. He doesn't have the best accuracy, but he has really good just all-around traits that you look for in a franchise quarterback. I'm trying to think of what else there is about Goff. I mean, Goff doesn't really have any huge drawbacks on him. He just kind of average outside of everything, outside of his pocket presence, but he's pretty decent around the board. Lynch probably has the most potential out of anyone. I watched film and saw him throw a fucking 70-yard bomb, not even moving forward, just to it standing flat. He usually has good accuracy on his deep ball, very mobile, and he's a project, but he's probably the most potential out of the three. Carson Wentz, he's probably my number three guy. He's very jittery in the pocket. He's very unsure, in my opinion, with the football. He'll throw it into spaces that he can't get it into. He'll make poor decisions. A lot of people think he has really good mobility, but he's not really that good mobility. I mean, if you run him on a draw, he can run a draw, but he's not going to scramble out of the pocket. But in terms of actual accuracy and short to intermediate routes, Wentz is insane. He can put it on the money every single time, but has very little deep ball. As I said, very poor pocket presence, very inconsistent, can turn the ball over a lot. But really, it just depends on what you're looking for, scheme-wise, which guy you want.
Fair enough.
As you can tell, I very clearly took Jared Goff with my second overall pick because, you know, Cleveland needed a quarterback more than anything, and they kind of needed him to be good right away. So I figured Goff would be the best quarterback in that scenario.
I'm so mad at you for the fuck you owned Goff.
Fuck it. How dare you take the smart pick.
Yeah, fun times, okay. Mock draft game, kicking up on TGP. And this thing's, we're going to get this thing knocked out in like a week. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, because we've got like only six people doing it.
Yeah, we have like fucking 10 people doing it. We have very
few people playing.
Somehow we managed to get like 5 picks in 24 hours.
D-Max blowing it down, man.
Should fly through. And I have zero ideas who I'm going to take for the Giants at this point, so probably
Emmanuel
Ogba trade. Yeah, we'll have to
I don't know who they
have to see how the board falls. I don't have a board. Wish I did. I don't. Got to wing it. No sense making a board when you don't know who's going to get there. That's my strategy.
I report there's nothing on it.
Yeah. Just blank. Yeah. All right, so Goff had a pro day practice this week. I mean, is his hand size really a big deal? I mean, that seems to be, he's got tiny hands. And it's like, he seemed to be doing all right in college. I mean, you know?
Well, just ask the next president of the United States about tiny hands.
Yeah.
I'll probably tell you enough.
Can't trust.
Can't trust. Yep. Line test.
Can't trust Jared Goff as your franchise quarterback. He has two tiny hands.
Yep. that's not what they say about people with tiny hands. They're talking about sex.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the photo that Razor used for the mock draft had Jared Goff holding football. It said Cal, and I feel like that might be not an NCAA qualified football. It might have been a tampered with football. Maybe he has tiny hands. He has to deflate the footballs a little bit to hold them.
Yeah, that ball did look a little underinflated.
Keep waiting for Brady to lose his appeal. Keep waiting. I'm probably going to be waiting for eternity.
For years. This is going to take years. This is going to be the legal battle of the century because it will take a literal century.
It's a literal century. Everybody will be dead and gone.
Tom Brady will be a
corpse.
Bill Belichick will still be alive, but he'll look more like Emperor Palpatine.
His like soul has shifted into his son. Little Belichick owns the team now.
Yep.
Yeah. Emperor Belichick takes on a new apprentice. Oh man. I don't even want to think about that.
It just makes you mad thinking about Belichick.
I don't even want to think about that. All right, another caller here. I think this is Butta. I think.
It sounds like Butta.
I come in and think that he can keep the radio show going.
I might be. Here we go. Hello, sir.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Doing bro. All right.
That's good. Sorry I'm late.
It's all good.
No, you're right on time. The show's almost over.
Better late than never.
It's good that you showed up. Me and Razor were devolving into talking about how big Goff's hands were.
Oh, okay.
How normal size hands were in comparison to footballs.
Fun times. Because I know nothing about this, it's very difficult for me to lead the discussion. So I have to rely on other people to drive these draft things. So, yeah.
You're an awful host.
I am. Usually I have questions or answers, not answers. I have no answers. I just have questions and leading statements to do. Outside of the top three, I mean, is there anything decent out there? I mean, obviously you got guys like Connor Cook, stuff like that. But I mean, is that even? I mean, yeah.
Kevin Hogan, man, he's gonna be an all-star. He's gonna be next Russell Wilson.
All right, tell me this quarterback class doesn't suck. How about that?
I can't.
I mean,
can you?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I don't think anyone could say for sure, but. I think there's not a top five, but I think there's a core five. You got the three with Wentz and Goff, but then I think Connor Cook and Hackenberg are both legit options. So it's that kind of core five. Depending on how the draft goes, I think Connor Cook is going to get pushed into the first round, like at the back end. But if not, him and Hackenberg will be gone by round two. So if you're talking about first to second round quarterbacks, that's five. Dak Prescott, I was really high on him, but then, you know, the thing with the DUI is really going to hurt him. So,
and then he got really high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I liked him better than Hackenberg and almost better than Cook. He's a lot better than people give him credit for. His system wasn't too spread, and he really can throw. But, so that's going to hurt him, and he might drop. So I think I'll stick with those five. So, but we don't know if it sucks. It's all about where they go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was actually going to bring up what y'all thought about Prescott. But why every single year we always have one guy, or actually it seems like multiple guys, who just, you know, draft is coming up. All you got to do is keep your nose clean, and then you got to go out and do something stupid. And it's just, why? How hard is it to just not do anything? Apparently very hard.
Because most of these people don't know how to keep their nose clean to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, they're on top of the world. They do shit all the time. They're just not under the media's eye all the goddamn time until the draft rolls around.
Yeah. Dak's weird. He's a weird one because I think I mentioned he won, like, an award for best on-the-field and off-the-field character. And so, it was weird seeing that he got into this. And as a court, like you said, every year we get it. We get, you know, people like Randy Gregory, Shane Ray last year. But, you know, those are just, you know, rushers. But as a quarterback, you can't fail the dummy test, like they call it. And so, you know, you're supposed to be the leader. That's scary to see that you make a dumb decision like that. So that's going to hurt him more than any other position it would have hurt.
I mean, I think the question would be, is it a repetitive thing or is it a one-time thing? Because with Randy Gregory, for instance, we knew he coming in that he had issues with weed beforehand. There are certain guys that will have come in who've had past issues, like Adoree' Green Beckham. And you have to figure out, is this like a one-time thing, like with Dak Prescott? I mean, we've only seen this one issue. We haven't seen things before this. He, as you said, he got like the award for being such a good character on and off the field, stuff like that. So it's a matter of saying, okay, is this guy going to continue to have these issues at the professional level, or is it just a one-time thing?
You also got to consider where they're going and if you have the locker room, you know, that can help support him and, you know, make sure he doesn't do the stupid stuff again. If he goes to the Browns or the Dolphins or something, he's got no chance in hell. But, I mean, if he ends up theoretically on the Broncos, he'll be fine. Because the worst thing that ever happens in the Broncos locker room is Von Miller's farts.
That's pretty bad.
I mean, like, with these prospects, I think most time you're not worried about, like, a substance abuse problem. It's just, like I said, like they call it the dummy test. It's just really a test of character. I'm not worried that Prescott is, like, an alcoholic. It's just you got to question a person that wants to be a leader and he can't even, you know, stay within the rules at the most important time of his career. I think that's more so what it is than, you know, drug abuse. Some guys are. I think Martavis Bryant was a clear example. Like, that was his issue coming into the draft. And people, you know, he's talented, take him, and they did, and it worked. But look at him now. Now he's going to serve a year suspension. So you have a couple guys, Josh Gordon, where that stuff does end up being an issue.
Johnny Manziel.
I want to point out the obvious guy. But, you know, for the most part, it's just a test of character. Like, you know, can you keep yourself together when you're supposed to? And as a quarterback, yeah, you don't ever want to see that. So I think he cost himself like a couple of rounds. I think he would have been a third-round pick, but now we're talking about fourth, fifth round.
If Cleveland trades down to 22nd, would they take him?
Poor Cleveland.
I think with Prescott, it's a lot easier to say this guy, if we take him, it's a one-time thing, because a lot of these guys that have those continuing issues, you see it through college. You see, like, Martavis Bryant, Josh Gordon had issues coming out. Randy Gregory had issues. A lot of times you'll see that kind of repetitive behavior. But with a guy like Prescott, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Pretty much saying, okay, I made a mistake. It's time to move on and begin my football career.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Razor was kind of joking around early at the beginning of the show about the Broncos drafting Cardale Jones, but what do you guys think about his NFL prospects? I mean, I know at Ohio State, certainly a interesting career. Obviously, you start things off with obviously we ain't come to play school, something like that, and then they win the national championship, and now here we are a year removed from that, and he's declaring for the draft. Obviously he's a massive individual, but what do we think about his prospects in the NFL?
Cardale is a he's a peer project. I mean, like, I stand by what I said last year. He should have came out because I said that because I didn't think he would get the opportunity to start. But either way, he got the opportunity and wasted it. So that's worse than, you know, anything he could have did to his draft stock last year, coming off those high playoff run and, you know, playing as well as he did in the limelight. I think he would have – he might not have been a first-round pick, but he would have got some consideration for, you know, mid-round. Now you're talking about a guy that was in the limelight, won the starting job, and pissed it away in front of everybody, in front of national TV. And so he looked terrible most of the time. And like you said, it started with the we're not here to play school. This isn't a guy that works hard. He doesn't take it seriously, and he had the opportunity of a lifetime. Like, Urban Meyer was just force-feeding him. Like, he stood by him every time just trying to find ways to let him keep that job. And he just, like, no, I don't want to be the starter. He just, he was terrible. So I think he's going to be real low on the radar this year. I think he would have been much better coming out last year.
I mean, I'm seeing some, like, media outlets saying he could be a second-round pick to a fifth, like, not fifth, like a fourth-round pick, that kind of middle-round area. I just honestly, I don't see it with Cardell. I think he's too much for a project. He has a lot of talent, but when you look at his decision-making, he's very, very bad with it. He throws it places where he shouldn't throw it. He'll throw it right into the defender's arms. He's not that mobile. I mean, he's okay, but he's not going to move around too much in the pocket. He's just not a good decision maker. And when you look at a guy you want, like for the Broncos, if the Broncos wanted to take a guy like that, you want a guy who can come in and be a starter right away, not a guy who you need to hold his hand and pamper the offense for him.
Yeah, well, we didn't have very good decision makers at quarterback last year, and we did quite well. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get a team that can afford to have him sit on the bench, then, yeah, that'll work. That's probably his best situation. He's got some maturing to do, and he's definitely got a long way to go as a quarterback. So I can see the Broncos getting him, keeping him for 4 years, and then him going to the Texans when it's time to sign him to a new contract.
I mean, Texans are going to get sick of Osweiler pretty quickly here.
That point is going to be like a 4 for $200 million, something in that range.
Yep. It'll be $200 million per year. Quarterback contract will be explode.
Yeah, contract escalation. Power creep. Which scenario do you guys see is more likely? Just like two or three quarterbacks taken in the first round, or do you see potential that we could see more than three go? Because I'm looking at the draft order, and the top 10, you've got quite a handful. Can't even talk of teams that could use a quarterback. Obviously, the Browns at 2. I think you can throw the Chargers in there. Phillip's getting old. There's that. The Cowboys, again, Romo and his age is getting up there. 49ers, no idea really what they're going to do with Cap yet. And I honestly would be shocked if he's actually on that roster by the time the regular season rolls around, leaving them with just Blaine Gabbert as their starter. And something tells me they probably won't. They probably don't want that. And then the Eagles, I think, are interesting, even though they just paid out a ton of money for Bradford and Chase Daniels. Do you guys think that there could be a massive run on these guys, or do you think we're just going to get a couple guys and that'll be it for a little bit?
I mean, when I first looked at it, I said this looks like 5 first round quarterbacks, and you know, I kind of changed my position a little bit, but it, like every year, it depends on who goes. I think if you do get those teams picking them early in the top 10, like if we get Cleveland, 49ers, and someone else in the top 10 taking a quarterback, If it's Philly, if it's Dallas, then yeah, I think Paxton Lynch's, you know, all those guys get pushed up because it's just going to be a domino effect because then now Connor Cook and Hackenberg are going to be a lot more coveted. But, you know, if we get 10 picks in and three quarterbacks are gone, it's definitely going to push those two into the first round. I almost guarantee that.
I mean, I think Goff and Wentz are almost guaranteed to go first round. I think one of those two is going to the Browns without a doubt. I think the Rams might try to move up to grab a quarterback, but I'm not sure they might just stay where they are depending on how it plays out. I mean, the Cowboys have already said they don't want to get a QB. They've already decided they're rolling with Romo, despite Romo being in his mid-30s. Yeah. The Chargers, I could see them going for a QB and having him ride the bench, but honestly, I feel like the Chargers would be better off either trading out of that pick and getting a collection of picks or just taking, if Jalen Ramsey's there, taking Ramsey or maybe take Tunzel. The 49ers, I mean, they already have Cap, and Chip has said multiple times that he likes Cap, so I could see them keeping Cap. The Eagles, even though they have Bradford, they might try and get someone new in there and get maybe Paxton Lynch or Goff if Goff falls down there. But after that, I don't think there's really any teams that are that QB needy. I mean, we don't have any huge needs at QB around the league for the most part. I mean, maybe the Jets take a guy if Fitzpatrick doesn't resign, but I'm not seeing too many needs around the rest of the league.
Yeah, the way I see it, I think we're going to see teams reaching for quarterbacks, even though if they look back at history, if they see the 2011 draft, basically any team that took a quarterback outside of Cam Newton was very disappointed in the picks. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll take Jake Lockard. He's retired. Take Blaine Gabbert. You know, he's fucking gone now. He's in San Francisco. And then, you know, miss out on A.J. Watt, miss out on Alden Smith, miss out on Patrick Peterson, Marcel Darius. I mean, I have a feeling we're gonna see teams taking quarterbacks and immediately regretting it because they could have had some more talent. They could have taken, like, an actual Pro Bowl player.
Yeah, people just panic. I mean, you know, that quarterback position, everybody put so much emphasis on it. And, you know, they take them without really knowing the player sometimes, and sometimes they take them without the infrastructure to, you know, develop them. You know, you put someone behind a terrible offensive line where they're going to get sacked times a year, and of course you set them up for failure, or if you don't have a run game, or if your defense is poor, all those things. So, but, yeah, like you said, teams just start reaching because that's why I said I think it matters when these people get drafted. If Paxton goes, you know, in the 20s, no one's going to trip. But if all three are going in the top 10, then, of course, you're going to have teams that, like, okay, I was waiting till the second round, but now I don't know, you know, what these teams are doing. So
the first or something ridiculous like that.
Exactly. And so, I mean, whether it's a team trading back into the first round or whatever the scenario is, I just think if it goes where it's top 10, all three are gone, then we're going to see some movement. But if you see Paxton kind of falling, then things will kind of stay where they are. Or, I mean, we don't know. Maybe Wentz is the one that falls and people like Paxton more. Who knows?
Yeah, this is always a fun time of year because you never know exactly what's going to happen. You never know what team's going to fall in love with a certain prospect and essentially just ruin the entire draft and destroy it right off the bat. So that's always fun.
I'll put good money on
all
it.
All I know is it won't be the Jags. Hopefully it won't be the Jags.
I'll put good money on it being the Bears this year.
Ben Hoof?
It'll be the Bears. The Bears will take some pick. They'll just leave everyone scratching their heads.
I doubt it. we're a pretty quiet team on draft day usually.
Yeah, I mean, Shea McClellan was definitely a first rounder.
Hey, if we want to talk about Shea McClellan, I'll stay here all night and defend him. Not to the Bears, but I think he would have been. I really love Shea. I think the day we drafted him, I said we ruined his career already because he was not made to go to our defense. And then they tried to move him to DN, and they tried to move him back, and it was bad. He should have went to some type of 3-4 multiple team. And, you know, the Patriots, I guarantee you he's going to be like a Pro Bowler now. And so, I mean, that's Shea McClellan, but, you know, that's not what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, like I said, the Bears are just going to make a pick that leaves everyone scratching their heads. Maybe they take Carson Wentz.
I mean, some people are saying that. I would not. I don't know how I feel about that, honestly. But
some people have Cutler locked up for quite a long time, don't they? They haven't locked up for another 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but isn't he already like 32?
Yeah, yeah, Cutler's 30. Up there.
I know he's 30-something,
I mean, you know, the draft's the draft. You take who you want. I don't know that you can necessarily mess it up. I mean, you could, you know, you're out for your best interest, so
22nd
we'll see,
pick.
But
the 14th draft, the Cleveland Browns select Johnny Manziel. That's how you mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cutler is 32, but
I don't know. Cutler's one of those weird cases. Despite being 32, I think we're maybe seeing some sort of career resurgence with him. Maybe. Yeah,
there's nothing to research. We're seeing a career surgeons.
Okay, a career surge. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, yeah. But I mean, if you're a Bears fan, you got to hope that the last year's version of Cutler is you know, kind of what you get from here on out, or not that version, but you know, if he can build on that and improve on that, you know, maybe you got something there.
How does this turn into Jay Cutler?
Because we're pushing towards the end and end of the
okay.
show, and I'm not entirely certain where to go from here. I guess if I was a better host, I would open up the floor to anything you guys wanted to discuss instead of trying to shoehorn stuff into here.
You're not a very good host, are you?
If I was a good host, that's what I'd do. But, yeah, we all know about my hosting skills, so.
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are talking about this QB class compared to last year with Mariota and Winston, and talking about how they might not be as good, but they might be just as good, or, you know, what have you. And I'm just, of course, with the benefit of hindsight, they're talking like, yeah, they're really strong up top. But I remember last year, like yesterday, they were not that certain during draft time. They were all these possibilities about Mariota not translating and being Blaine Gabbert and Winston still in crab legs and all those different things. So, I mean, so after watching them play, of course, they can say, yeah, they're pretty good. But do you guys think this class is comparable, or at least at the top of the class, to Mariota and Winston? Because I think they're easily more polished than Mariota and Winston, whether you're talking about Goff or Wentz or Paxton Lynch, in my opinion.
I mean, I think talent-wise, it's a much deeper class this year. I mean, last year, really, it was basically Mariota, Winston, and that was it. I mean, you could argue Garrett Grayson and Brett Hundley were okay, but there's really nothing beyond that. Bryce Petty turned out to be pretty bad when he actually got on the field. But this year, I mean, you have Lynch, you have Wentz, Goff, Connor Cook probably could be a starter. Prescott has looked pretty good to a lot of people, and he's been rising until the DUI issue. Hackenberg, for a while there, was a first-rounder until he started having a bad games this past year or two and started dropping. Cardell has a lot of potential. Kevin Hogan has a lot of, I wouldn't say potential, but he could turn out to be a solid backup and intermediate starter. Personally, I love Cody Kessler. I think he could be a starter from day one. So there's, in my opinion, a lot more talent in this class and a lot more potential in this class than there was in last class.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there's less question marks with the top three guys, actually. like maybe they don't have the ridiculous upside that Winston and Mariota had, but you feel like you have like a good floor with them, so at least you're not getting complete shit out of them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a good point, because the biggest question mark with these guys really is like, why was Connor Cook not a captain? That's like the biggest question compared to last year with Jameis Winston. Like, did you rape that girl, or did you steal the crab legs? Or...
Yeah, a little difference in questions there.
But that's a pretty big jump from one kind to the other.
Yeah.
Did you hide those crab legs in her panties?
I did not have sexual relations with those crab legs.
That's just where I was going to go with that.
All right, good show.
Yeah, that's it. We got a solid 5 minutes left. But yeah, okay. Draft time is always awesome for the most part, especially in years like this when things are really fluid. I mean, everybody seems to be mocking. Well, not everybody, but you know. Everybody's somewhat assuming that the Titans are going to take Tunsil at one, and that you know, kind of things kind of fall into place from there. But it's just like, you never know. That's one of the fun parts about this time of year.
Mocks are just like brackets, man. They always get busted. Nobody's ever right.
No,
I mean, I don't know.
Closest you ever get to somebody being right is like the guys who have. You know, contacts inside every draft room and are like doing their mocks like 10 minutes before it actually starts. That's about it.
So, Buddha, I didn't get to ask because you came in a little bit late. What's your opinion on the top three? How would you rank them? From Winston and Lynch and Goff, how would you rate those three?
Goff, Lynch. I started for a minute to go back to Wentz, but I just started watching the QBs for the second round, and I'm like, I'm still with Goff. Wentz, it's big to see how he translates. You know, the speed is going to be a lot different, and I think he had a little bit of gunslinger mentality, which is going to hurt him early on because, you know, those – throws that he made in AA aren't going to be there in the NFL. So, and Goff is just—he's not perfect, but he's got the most solid, you know, floor of anybody else. So, I go Goff, Wentz, and then Lynch.
Fair enough.
Dun dun dun.
I really want to ask somebody what the difference is between Jared Goff and Dan LeFever, but then I realized that Dan LeFever was like years ago, and nobody even cares. So
nobody cares about him. I think he played for the Alouettes.
Yeah. I mean,
we still have
nobody cares about
rights, by the way.
Never coming back. Well, at least that's a nice barrier for him coming back to the NFL, but no, it's not, because that doesn't matter at all.
I mean, I don't have time to go watch LeFever tape right now, so.
I know. It's like 2010.
I can't get back to that one that quick. Yeah, it's 2010 6th-rounder out of Central Michigan.
And I just remember him because he was like, you know, here's this guy who lived up in college who was tall, who was essentially a twig. Exactly like Goff is, and it's just, these people are the same. But then again, you know, it's 5 years ago, nobody cares. Actually, I guess.
But here's the thing. Jared Goff looks like Ryan Gosling.
That is,
a little bit.
Yeah.
He does, a little bit.
That is accurate.
Hold on one second. Are you shitting me? The Browns are going to accidentally take Ryan Gosling.
Jerry's mind has just been blown.
Yeah.
That's accurate. That is accurate. Surprised him to show on that.
question, probably. I only got a minute left.
It's going to end on Brian Gosling at number two pick overall.
All right, so
Browns over.
What do we want to do next week? Do you want to just continue down the list and do running backs, or do you have a specific grouping you'd like to do instead?
We can do running backs. That's fine. Let's just go down the list.
All right. Then we should do it. Running back to this.
I can come on next week and slam Zeke Elliott. Talk about how horrible he is. How awful he is. How he's a fourth rounder.
Can't wait to talk about the best running back in the draft, Miles Jack.
Yeah. Fun times.
That's funny.
All right, that's a show.
Apparently, I think Jack is the best running back in the class.
All right, so thank you, gentlemen, for calling in. And we shall do this again.
You've got like 5 minutes left.